welcome to another episode of the Engage Family Gaming Podcast. My name is Steven Dutzman. I'm your host, as always. And I am joined by four of my very best friends in the whole wide world. And we're going to talk about video games, board games, everything that your family can play together. This is a big week. So I did not talk to everybody about this beforehand because I wanted to surprise everybody. Did you know today is episode 299?
Ooh.
What?
So,
dip.
So here's what we're going to do, because, and I think this is rather fortuitous, because not only are we going to have episode 300 in 2 weeks, but also this is EFG 10, the 10th anniversary of Engage Family Gaming this year. So we are going to, we were already planning on a scheduled like celebration this summer where we were going to do some stuff. Probably release some merch, like doing like the things that real podcasts and websites do, because it turns out I think 10 years of operation continuously, well, with an asterisk, and 300 episodes of a podcast officially qualifies us as one of the cool kids. Like,
yeah, I would tend to agree.
Here sure. We come, yeah. Gamertag Radio and Podcast Beyond. There's, you got nothing on me. Welcome to us. I say that lovingly because both of those podcasts are great and I love those guys.
But,
like my son just did, he just laughed. It's all about the joke. So what we're going to do is actually have our episode 300 as normal. But what we're going to do is next week, we're all going to pretend like it's not a big deal. Not next week, but in 2 weeks. We're going to pretend like it's no big deal. And then what we'll do is we'll just hold the celebration this summer. Oh, well, thank you very much for the gifted sub, Mega Mom. One of our biggest supporters, and we're actually close to a hype train. Welcome to what I guess we really are some of the big kids now, because we even get hype trains. So that is the plan. Because, you know, in 2 weeks... my wife's still going to be recovering from some medical stuff. I'm going to be, you know, it's the middle of the garbage winter. Like, there's just not much that we can do. I'm surprised Jeff's home is not just frozen shut because he's from the frozen north. So we're gonna wait until it's a little warmer and then we'll do something a little more fun.
We did get 10.5 inches of snow on Friday.
Oh, anyway, speaking of...
But it's all gone. It's all gone now.
Well, yeah, because that's welcome to North America in 2023. Anyway, so let's get the introductions out of the way so we can actually go in, because we actually have some cool stuff to talk about today that I think will generate some lively discussion. To my left slash right, I don't know, directions are made up, is my man, the man behind the curtain, John Tomlinson. Sir, how are you today?
Enjoying my day.
You're enjoying your day. You got a little coffee there.
I've been, you know, a little.
What are we building today? I got to know what we're building. Oh, well, you got the Steam Deck. I mean, that's. We're going to talk about the Steam Deck.
I'm sorry, you mean the Vampire Survivors machine?
Yeah. A $400 Vampire Survivors.
You know what? Listen.
Deck. Yeah.
Listen, what are you going to do?
So this is the. This is the statue, his stand for Bowser, which you could build out of order. So I save that for last. That's what I'm building today.
Okay. All right. I like it. So that we're just going to, I know that you are building during each episode. So we're just going to make that a thing where we're just going to ask you what you're doing.
We're just building towards something.
Exactly. We are always building towards something. So,
sometimes it's existential dread, though.
There's that.
Okay.
There's that. And Ready Player Mama, thank you very much for the gifted subs also. So to his right or left, I don't know, directions are made up, is the executive editor of Board Games. She got a promotion today. Linda Roble, the mistress of magnificence, otherwise known as Mom. Linda, you are also making something.
I am. I decided on a new fidget while we are recording, and I decided to take some of the yarn out and start just crocheting. So I started this 10 minutes ago.
You started 10 minutes ago?
So we'll see how big it is by the end.
Yeah, I want to see how big it is by the end. And then what we got to do is we got to keep track of it. Can you? What I would love it if you would do is post a picture of it on the Instagram after we are done. And so as it grows through each podcast, let's do it. I think that would be
the good thing is the design. It is an endless granny square, so it can just grow and grow and grow.
I love it. So. I love it. So the next row, let's go. We'll go clockwise to he's already spoken on the show, but my man Jeff Walker from the Frozen North. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Stephen. You are right. It is cold up here, but no snow now.
No snow now. You got it all on Friday, and now it's gone. It's WrestleMania season, like, fully for you and I. So, it's not quite close enough to WrestleMania that it's our entire personality yet, but we'll warn you, everybody. So don't worry about that too much.
There's times where it's not your entire personality?
Nope. This week, my entire personality is History of the World Part 2.
As it should be.
And then, because it's good to be the host, I can do that. And then, explaining that movie and the existence of that TV show to my teenage son is really
the big teenage
hard.
Son or the younger,
the
teenage
big,
son
the bigger one, the bigger. I mean,
okay. They're both big, but bigger.
The content that the two of them consume, there really isn't. There's not much that I would let one watch that I wouldn't let the other. They're both teenagers. I've seen their search histories. Like, at this point, I'm not, all that crazy worried. But explaining Mel Brooks' comedy to teenagers is weird because,
it's tough.
It shouldn't exist, and yet it does. Fine. But anyway, and then in next week, my entire personality is Ted Lasso for the next day. So we're in a really weird spot. And Megaran dropped a new, anime cipher with a bunch of his friends. So that's been throwing my head off. There's 3,000 views on it. And I think half of them are me, which if you think about who would be, you'd think it wouldn't be me, but here I am.
See, I'm all Pedro Pascal right now.
All right. Well, everybody loves Pedro Pascal.
Yeah. Same. We get Last of Us and The Mandalorian. How blessed are we right now?
What amazing bookends.
And we get I just wish we had The Last of Us and Ted Lasso in the same week. And I know it's they don't overlap, but man, how cool would it be anyway? So, the last but not least. My very best friend in the whole wide world, we share a brain cell. Amanda Farrow, the princess of power. How are you, my friend?
It was a very, very long, draining day. Also, it's only Tuesday, but it's podcast week.
It is, in fact, podcast week.
Doesn't matter how drained I was before, because being with all of you energizes me.
Yay.
Not only is it podcast day, but we are less than 1 week from Coils of Destiny.
So excited.
So for those watching and that don't know what I'm talking about, Coils of Destiny is the Engage Family Gaming. We are taking our step into the live play Dungeons & Dragons market. We're going to have our own show. The difference, if you would like to know the difference, just go to Giphy and look up Critical Role and see how many inappropriate jokes and cuss words they have, and we're going to have none of that. It's going to be a show that is intended to be mostly family-friendly. I think it's probably going to settle around an Avengers movie worth of stuff, but it's going to be more Legend of Zelda than Game of Thrones, more dad jokes than the other kind of jokes, and there's already so many puns built into this campaign that I'm just going to deliver dead plans.
I'm ready.
I actually have an exclusive thing to release to people watching the show today, which I think is kind of cool. The people who are watching right now can get a look at the player's guide that I gave to my players the other week. So you get to know interesting details about the world, the history of the town that they will be playing in, etc. This is a living document, so I will share it more throughout time, but it'll always be either on this podcast or on the actual show. We're trying something very, very new, but I've been Dungeon Mastering for, I don't know, since I was 14. Linda, I've Dungeon Mastered for Linda, I think 8 times by now. So
Something like that. I don't know. Many. Lots.
Many.
One too many lots.
And never for Amanda. So this is her first time. And so
this is my first time.
So, next week, Monday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're going to get started. And then after each show, I'm going to stay on with the face cam, and I'm going to recap each episode, not only from a Q&A, like plot and story and all that, but also from a mechanics perspective. And we're going to talk about how I did things, how the players did things, rules, and all that. So if you have an interest in learning how to play Dungeons & Dragons, or how to Dungeon Master Dungeons & Dragons, you're going to want to stick around for that little half hour, a little bit afterwards, where I do Q&A. Let's get to the show, everybody. Episode 299. The big news is, and this is a wild one, the Olympics came out and announced that they are going to have, not part of the Olympics proper, they're going to do their own esports competition. And they announced a lineup of games. It's basically the esports Olympics. And the first competition is actually going to take place this summer in, I believe it's Singapore. And what I would like to do is first hear everyone here on the panel's reaction to this. And then I'm going to go over the games and then we can react to each of those because they are not what you would expect mostly. Amanda, let's start with you. You are not allowed to put your business hat on. You requested this.
I've requested to not be allowed to put my business hat on. I'm tired of businessing today, so folks. I do too much business.
How about as a mega nerd who loves games and really is pretty cool with esports in general? Is this cool or what? What do you think?
I think it's really interesting, and it honestly is a cool reflection of, you know, how far esports have come. You know, back in the day when we thought about esports, when we were watching, you know, Day 9 play StarCraft, right?
Yeah.
That was way back in the day. We didn't, like, how far did we think things were really going to go? I mean, like, for the longest time, I didn't understand esports. And then I started watching them. Esports are cool.
They are really cool.
They're cool. If you have never been to a live esports event, I am telling you, when I went to the Fortnite World Cup in Queens, it changed my life. I will never look at esports the same again. It is just the coolest thing. The energy is electric. The fans love it. The players are so much fun to watch. And even though I'm not a Fortnite player, the World Cup, man, if that is potentially the way it would feel at the Olympics...
I mean, I get that feeling watching Evo when it's in Mandalay Bay and you see these guys. I mean, so anyway, I have my own thoughts and I'll share them in the wrap up. Jeff, you saw this announcement. When you first saw it, what was your gut reaction?
My gut reaction was, I mean, that is cool. And I think video games and just esports in general are becoming a long way from where we used to be. High schools are now doing esports competitions.
Yep.
My parents were visiting me this weekend, and my dad kept telling me how my high school's Rocket League team got like second place at the state competition. And he goes, "Well, what do you love to do? You have loved that when you were in high school. When I was in high school, our band did a Madden tournament as a fundraiser, and that was it."
I'm not gonna lie. That sounds awesome. And I would love to watch a Madden tournament done by a band. I wish I was there. I would have watched so much of that. Linda, I know that more likely than not, the first time you heard of this was when it was on our show notes, because you've been busy doing like super teacher stuff. Tell me where you're at. Olympics, esports. What do you think? What do you think?
So I feel like, just because this is not something that I've watched, I really haven't watched esports. I probably have flipped through when something's been on that the kids are watching or seen it in passing. Mm-hmm. But hearing it's the Olympics are supporting this and are sponsoring this and, you know, bringing this forward, it, you know, as somebody that's more on the fringe of the video game world, it's like, I feel like it's a different level of recognition to it. I don't want to say legitimacy because that's not the right word, but like it elevates it to a certain level when it's the Olympics.
Mainstream.
It makes it mainstream.
Thank you. That is the word. I apologize. My word retrieval is not good. My brain is mush.
I'm here to help you, Abe. I'm always here to help you.
I appreciate you.
One team.
Yes. But no, while it's not necessarily something I'm going to race to go watch, you know, it's fascinating to me because it brings it to kind of the next level of mainstream.
Yeah.
More and more kids are playing video games than ever before. That is more mainstream.
Yeah.
Than it was a generation ago when we were young. You know, you folks all were gamers. I was outside of it. Mm-hmm. I was outside of that world. And I think there were a lot more of us on the outside.
No, Linda, I'm going to be honest.
Go.
I thought you were going to say you guys were all gamers. I was outside.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You know what? Wait, hold on.
I'll be honest.
Does that mean that none of us were touching grass? That's not real. I played rugby. But, I touched some grass.
It's all good. No, but it's just a different time. Different priorities, different focus to it. Video games were viewed very differently. And just the legitimacy of it, the mainstreamness of it, you know, what it brings, how it brings it up to kind of the next level of people that haven't been paying attention to esports are going to probably be exposed, you know, for the first time. People that have been outside of the gaming world are going to be like, oh, the Olympics are doing this. That's a big deal. That says a lot about what level it's at now.
Yeah, I agree.
Hard agree.
Absolutely. John, what about you? Where'd you come down when you saw this?
I'll be excited to watch it when it's on.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely an interesting group of games. I hope it expands in due time. You know, I don't expect us to ever see something like, you know, any of the super popular games that are out there right now or everyone is playing. Like, we're not going to have a Minecraft at the Olympics sort of game. But, you know, we already have licenses with the Olympics. We have, you know, Sonic and Mario at the Olympics, you know.
Yeah.
So it was just a matter of time. They're getting that money.
Yeah. I mean, so to share my thoughts, and I knew this topic was coming, so I cheat. I had plenty of time. I think it doesn't add any legitimacy or anything like that to me, because for me, esports already were a real sport, quote unquote. You know, for me, the esport, you know, my whole year could be calculated by how excited I am about Evo and Evo happening, right? And I even watch the Nationals. Or the International, which is a Dota tournament. And I don't play Dota. So, but I watch
the International is a legit
The International
tournament,
is insane.
It's so cool.
Yeah, and this past weekend, Evan and I watched the MDI, which is a mythic dungeon invitational in World of Warcraft. And we watched, and they're racing for money and stuff like that. So, you know, for me, it didn't add anything to it. What it did for me, and I think some of this might be a little bit of cynicism, which is not common for me, but for me it was like, what made this happen? And we do know that, you know, and I know that the esports at the Olympics has come up at every Olympics, which is every other year, for the past decade or so. People have asked about it, and the Olympics, International Olympics Committee, has rejected it outright up until now. And some of their main concerns... A big piece is about the most popular esports are violent and really inappropriate for the spirit of the Olympics. Counter-Strike Go, which is probably the biggest esport on Earth, I think it's got to be one of, is literally about a terrorist attack. That's what it is. And so the IOC can't, even if they knew that there was money to be made, like I'm sure on a cynical level they knew, there's money to be made that could have changed hands, etc. They couldn't have CSGO in there. So I think it was a matter of finding a way to find the right slate of games or the right kind of attitude or right lens to look at it to find it. And I think these games represent that. I think they present their own challenges. But I think if they finally found the lens that they needed, because outwardly they were like, no, we're not doing it. Video games aren't sports. But behind the scenes, I'm sure there was somebody on a whiteboard being like, how do we do? Because dollar signs slash euros slash whatever. And I think probably a good time as any to get into the games so we can talk about what the actual list is, because I think it is fascinating, to say the least. So I'll just go down the list. So it's called the Olympics Esports Series, or OES, and it's going to be in Singapore from June 22nd to June 25th. Don't worry, folks. I will be talking about it. and so here are the games. Hold on. It's not really this website needs some work. Olympics committee. If you need a content manager, I'm available.
They have plenty of money too. So
I mean, listen, they can help me out. So, first they have archery, which is again not one that you would think of when you think of video games, but archery is going to be represented with it's a mobile game called Tic Tac Bow.
Should have done Link's crossbow training.
Now, I agree, but I think this is kind of a good illustration of the biggest point, which is the majority of these are mobile games. And I think for me personally, and I saw a lot of folks make a lot of noise about like, why are they all mobile games, etc. And for me, it's because you need...
I could tell you, but I'm not going to...
Because you can't put that hat on, but I also know, and it's because mobile games are more accessible throughout the world. There are way more people that have phones, including in developing countries, than have PlayStations or gaming rigs. You need a pretty impressive gaming rig in order to play League of Legends. You do not need an impressive gaming rig in order to play Tic-Tac-Bow on your Android phone. at least in theory.
I love that I psychicked all of that.
I mean, to be fair... You psychicked some of the wording, but I also just knew because...
I mean, I know you know. It wasn't the wording. It was just we were sharing a thought. We share a brain cell.
So, Tic-Tac-Bow. Here's what's really... This is not. I actually downloaded this game. It's not nearly as bad as you think this is. This is just a neat little... I mean, it's archery on a phone. Whatever. There's going to be... What's funny is people are going to see this announcement, download Tic-Tac-Bow on their iPhone or whatever, and play around with it. And then we're going to get to actual people playing this at an Olympic level, and we're going to be like, oh, you're playing a completely different game than us. Thanks. So that's the first one. Next is baseball. Keen-eyed people will remember that this game was featured in a sizzle reel during a Nintendo Direct recently and sold for $1. And that is the WBSC eBaseball Power Pros. And this is actually a console... it's a console game. But they sell it for $1. So it's on PS4 or 5 or Nintendo Switch. They're going to have a straight-up tournament with this thing. This game looks like an arcade baseball game. It looks like Ken Griffey Jr. Baseball from the Super Nintendo. It really looks like Nolan Ryan Baseball from the Super Nintendo. That's a deep cut. This plays like a simulator.
The backyard kids games.
It really does.
Back in the day.
But I tried this because I bought it for $1. In fact, I had gold coins, so I bought it for 17 cents. And this is a simulation baseball game. This is not easy, which is going to be really interesting watching people play that. Has anybody else played what's it called? I got to say it correctly. If I'm going to do it with fighting games, I got to do it with this one. WBC or WBSE Baseball Power Pros. Anybody else? Anybody in the chat played this one?
Shockingly, I didn't.
Allegedly. Too fair. All right, so... shocking. Linda is going to represent the United States in this game and within the coming years, I like to think.
I don't know. Now that he's going to hear about this, I don't know. My youngest might be,
might be all interested. Listen.
I mean, if he can beat Hollow Knight in like multiple times, maybe he's got a chance.
Amanda, no joke. Her 10-year-old beat Hollow Knight and like Legend of Zelda Master Mode. He's a better gamer than me.
He has too much time.
I mean,
I'm too lax with it, and that's okay. I'm okay with that.
You know, what he's doing is achieving. He's definitely not wasting time. So moving on to some other stuff. Chess is going to be from chess.com, which, you know, here's the thing. Chess is, in fact, an Olympic sport. So the fact that they have digital chess doesn't surprise me. I'm really interested to see. I don't know enough about chess to really know, but I'm interested to see what the difference is, like if they have different competitors or if there's a lot of overlap. I don't know. Maybe there's like more mind games being in person. I'm not sure. But that's chess.com. And I'm sure they have their own tournament stuff over there. Cycling. Now, this one's interesting because cycling is going to be using an app called Zwift, but this is actually on exercise bikes. So this is kind of like Peloton kind of stuff, but it's gamified. And I'm like kind of down with that. Like that really, could you imagine just like, because I want to imagine like a room full of like cycling athletes with like big screen TVs attached to the front of it. And then like, I want to be the TV producer that has to make that good television.
No. Ring Fit Adventure.
Okay, fine. Yeah, but Ring Fit Adventure is not like a group activity, but like a cycling race, right? Where so it's like a Zoom class.
That's exactly. But now, here's the question. For the cyclist, do they have to say on your left as they pass, even though it's virtual?
I don't know.
But do they also have to follow it up with, I could do this all day?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know. We'll find out. So if you want to know more about the game, you can go to Zwift.com, Z-W-I-F-T. I am super fascinated by that one. Next, this is going to be near and dear to Amanda's heart. They have Just Dance in the Olympics.
That is going to be amazing.
What? And my kids are like, what? They have Just Dance in the Olympics. Now, I'm going to be real with that. That is going to be entertaining. Because, like, if you're like me, it looks like a Cthulian nightmare. That's what I look like playing Just Dance. But, like, people that know what they're doing, they can do some impressive stuff. So that's Just Dance. And we all know what Just Dance is. That's been, you know, we've talked about that on the show before. Motorsports on Gran Turismo. Now, this was interesting that Gran Turismo got chosen versus Forza. I'm sure there was some jockeying and licensing behind this. Amanda has the gears turning, but the hat is not on yet, and I will not allow her to do it. Maybe we'll talk about that in a future episode, or maybe we'll talk about it in the magazine when we do our next issue. Maybe we should do an Olympics issue this summer, because we can do our own Olympics issue. Oh my God.
Yeah, we
this
can.
Is so perfect. Anyway, next is
We just have to jump through some hoops.
Right. Just five.
I like how we did. Did you guys see, if you are in the chat and you understood that reference, you know, do it. So anyway, and I didn't know you interviewed the Zwift CEO. Did you interview them for
Game Daily?
For Game Daily? Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So it's been around for a while.
Years ago. Yeah, it was years ago. I think I interviewed them in like 2019 or something like that. I went to a big event in Manhattan. It was so cool.
So they're like
I got to watch like a bunch of athletes like motoring around. It was so interesting. And awesome. Yeah, he was a really cool guy.
Awesome. All right. Well, I mean, you know what that means? That actually gives me hope. That means Zwift isn't like some startup that is here just for the Olympics. It's like an existing program. I'm very excited about that. Next, and this is going to be my jam. I'm not going to play it because I'm terrible at it, but I can't wait. Is Virtual Regatta on sailing. Now, I want everyone, your homework is to go on Twitch because there is one dude who streams Virtual Regatta on Twitch. And this one guy, we're sending him a couple of followers. So I want everyone to go search up Virtual Regatta. I'm going to put the name in the chat. And we're going to go there and follow the one guy that streams it. He might not be online, but when he is online, I want you to tell him Engage Family Gaming sent you. Because here's the thing. Virtual Regatta is exactly what you think it is. It's just big old sailboats, and it's on a computer. But it's on, it's mobile. And it's a virtual sailing competition. It starts March 17th. There's 8 qualifiers. The competition spans 2 categories, a 30 day long endurance race and an inshore competition. Listen,
dang,
that's, I don't know how all this works, but I want to become an expert in virtual regatta, at least in virtual regatta watching. So it's the most popular sailing game in the world with over 1 million players per year, Amanda.
Wow.
Now you don't need to put your business on. Can you
That's
blink?
Pretty cool.
Can you blink twice if 1 million players per year is good? Oh, she blinked twice. Okay. Listen, I just wanted to avoid the temptation to put on your business hat. 1 million players per year sounded good to me, but I'm just trying to protect you.
Yep. Yeah, that's a pretty decent long tail on that experience. No more business.
No more business. Look at that.
You're in cooldown.
She dropped a business word, everybody. Next we have virtual taekwondo. So they did find a way to put a fighting game in here, but it's taekwondo. And it's taekwondo as played using motion tracking technology. So you are actually punching and kicking and like whooping dudes. But you're doing it with basically Joy-Con strapped to all of your limbs. What are our thoughts on this one? Because this is a straight up fight. This is like, they needed a fighting game. If they had the Olympics without a fighting game, I would have been really bummed. But you can't put Street Fighter in there or Mortal Kombat.
No, man.
Definitely not Mortal Kombat.
No.
Oh.
Not even a little.
Mortal Kombat 12,
Olympics
edition.
I mean, the closest
edition.
Thing they could do was Arms. I mean, they could have probably gotten away with Arms.
Maybe, but Arms is just weird. So this one.
That was the Olympics.
Yeah, true. This one looks like it might actually be fun to watch. This one in like Just Dance. Like, I don't know how excited I am to watch like two dudes sit play chess through a computer with each other. Like, I might watch just the pieces move on the board, but like seeing the players, I don't want to. But this, I kind of want to see the players. You know what I mean?
Right, because this actually would require the physical skill.
There's like something going on. Yeah. Right. So the last one is tennis. And this is the game is Tennis Clash, which is a mobile tennis game.
That's pretty neat.
Which is pretty neat. There's a couple of things going on here. Number one, there really isn't like a Madden of tennis or a 2K of tennis on consoles. So even if they wanted to include like a more
it's just Mario.
And that's so I would love in the chat, I did a poll. And let's see what the results of said poll are. Well, it bugged out and never actually sent it. That explains why I got no responses, because I was a little worried. Anyway, I want everybody in the chat, tell me which of those sports you want to watch if you can only watch one of them. And we're going to go through, Amanda, of those sports, which one are you watching?
I'm going to watch the regatta, man. I went and I followed that Twitch streamer. I'm going to go check it out. I'm excited.
He's the one guy. All right, Jeff, what about you? What are you watching? You can only watch one.
That's hard, but I think I want to see cycling. I just want to see a bunch of people going.
All right, I'm down.
Obviously, I don't ride a bike. I can't.
No, it's kind of like that. That was kind of like a cross between like being the villain in Donkey Kong and riding a bicycle. So it was kind of like, you know, you're kind of doing that thing. And that's fine. I like it. You were sitting in an office chair. So I'll give you a little bit of a break. Linda, you can only watch one of those Olympics.
No question. Just Dance. That's my level of stuff. Though the cycling does intrigue me only because I actually have done like an itty bitty baby race with a bike. So in real life. So that does intrigue me a little bit, but
a little bit.
I want to see Just Dance.
Okay. All right. And man behind the curtain, if you can only watch one, what are you watching?
I would say Just Dance.
All right, that's fair. I think that honestly, I think that's the objectively correct answer. Just because
it is the objectively correct answer, yes. But I needed to be contrary.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and honestly, the just my hope is that when this gets coverage on like ESPN, etc., they focus on Just Dance and Taekwondo and stuff like that, and not like some of the obscure stuff or people flicking on phones, which I think is going to be just as interesting for us.
The real question is how they're going to get around covering it with the licensing because of the music.
Well, okay.
I'm sure they figured that out.
Amanda has opinions. She just raised her eyebrows. But you know what? I mean, they'll figure it out. It's ESPN. I'm sure they can figure it out. But the Lord knows their YouTube videos will be demonetized. I don't think they care, though. Amanda,
the Olympics take down your YouTube videos.
So. Olympics, too. Yeah, this is one of those. What's wild is, as much as I would want to have the five of us, okay, there are special kinds of licensing they can use. Okay. No more business.
Sorry.
You know, it's just like, you know, with Evo and whatever, they encourage people to do live reactions and co-streams. That is, as much as I want the five of us to be like surrounding the sailboat regatta, my guess is that the Olympics will destroy us. We will be nuked from orbit so fast. So we'll be able to talk about it after the fact. And we'll be able to be very, very excited. But I will not risk the violence of the IOC. I'm not that brave. I may be real. Listen, 10 years and 300 episodes. It's kind of like it's like six seasons in a movie. It's like Community. It's like we have 10 years and 300 episodes. So like that is my ticket to legitness. But like I'm not going to fight the IOC. You know,
no. That is not a fight you want.
Yeah, that's not a fight that I want. But anyway, so that's the Olympics. I'm excited, if for nothing else. I think there is some, because it's the Olympics, one of the guys on the committee that set it up does own the company that owns some of those mobile games. That is one of those things that it's the Olympics.
Hmm.
I mean, look. Listen. Here's the thing. Right when we got here, John, that was the first thing John said. He's like, we're going to talk about the fact that one of the dudes on the committee owns two of those mobile games. And like, look. If you're gonna talk about the Olympics, some of the shenanigans is kind of like baked in. And so you have to choose to be like, if you're gonna let that like spoil the fun, which admittedly, you know, there's a lot going on. If you're going to have that kind of spoil what that event is, then you might as well just pretend that none of them exist. And it's really hard for me because they, for a number of reasons. So anyway, all cynicism aside, video games rule. Video game Olympics also rule. And I, on the one hand, I would love to see the World Cup of whatever, or the Olympics of Street Fighter or whatever. I see that at the Capcom Cup and at Evo. So I don't need it here. So we're going to get some recognition of these other wild games, and we get to see a world-class Just Dance tournament in June, which, let's be real, that's gonna be bananas. So anyway, we'll talk about that more in the future. Next thing, and this is, Jeff, you were hype about this. We had a Pokemon Pokemon Day last week.
We did. Pokemon Presents.
So you're the resident Pokemon expert. You wanna run us down some of the stuff that was announced there? Because they did a lot.
Yes, so they announced that the Pokemon World Championships are going to be in Tokyo this year, which I did not know this, but this is the first year they have ever been in Tokyo.
Which totally caught me off guard.
Yeah, but so it'll be August 11th through the 13th, and I believe last year in the London one, they added Pokemon Go to it. So Pokemon Trading Card Game, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, Pokemon Go will all be...
Yeah, and Pokemon Unite.
And Pokemon Unite. I forgot about Pokemon Unite, which Zacian was added to.
Yep.
They announced Pokemon Trading Card Game Classic, which is all the classic cards. It's going to have all the big rules they have now. And it'll be just probably, I'm going to assume, hard to find and expensive because people are going to scalp it.
That thing's going to be like $300. I'm almost certain that it's going to be between $250 and $300. Here's my what I'm hoping. So Pokemon Classic... super classy playing mat with its own box and three really nice premium decks with the older cards and really premium tokens and stuff to play the game. If that is more expensive than it needs to be, what I'm really excited about is the secondhand market of people just putting those tokens up on Thingiverse to be 3D printed, because the tokens and all that are great. So they gave us an announcement about some DLC for Scarlet and Violet, which was pretty exciting. Jeff.
Yes. It will be called the Treasure of Area Zero, and part one is coming this fall in 2023. Will be called the Teal Mask, and you will be visiting the land of Kitakami as part of a school trip.
I love it.
And then part two comes winter of 2023, and it's called the Indigo Disc, and you will be an exchange student at Blueberry Academy.
I love it. The fact that one of the expansions is just
I would like to go to Blueberry Academy.
Because you're a blueberry.
Yeah.
That's a deep cut. For those
I hear that
exceptionally deep cut.
That's a deep cut. And I'm a blueberry. Anyway, go ahead.
They announced the two legendaries for each half. Ogrepan is going to be part of the Teal Mask, and Terrapagos, which is a giant tortoise flying thing.
Yeah, but it's a very pretty Pokemon. It's a very like it's a flying turtle, but like it's the back, like its whole shell, each like segment of the shell is like this really opalescent gemstone. It looks really, really cool. Like this is one of those we need to see physical versions of this thing.
Yeah, it looks like each, like, I don't know what they're called, scale of the shell, whatever, is a different typing of Pokemon. So I'm interested to see where that ties into the story or the lore of this certain Pokemon.
Yeah.
And then new Netflix show was announced, which I was not expecting.
Yeah.
Pokemon Concierge. It is stop motion animation and it will take place at a Pokemon resort. And the main character is the concierge at this resort.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, the stop motion animation on this looked absolutely bananas. They showed Psyduck walking on a beach, and it was off-putting at first, but the more I watched it, I was like, nope, this is perfect. I love it. And then
is it the same art style? It says stop motion. Is it still the same art style, or is it a like very different art style?
It's not like the anime. It's more of a 3D art style.
All right.
Yeah,
sure it'll be on my TV. My youngest is gonna be.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And then let's bring it home. The real news is the launch this summer of Pokemon Sleep.
Yes, which was announced what 4 years ago?
Yeah, like 4 or 5 years ago. It's been around for a while.
And then we haven't heard anything about it. So you have the app on your phone. You set the phone near you. I'm not really sure how this wizardry works. And then it can measure your sleep. And then it will give you a Pokemon that relates to your sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you sleep.
Mine's gotta be Snorlax.
Well, Snorlax, everyone is Snorlax. So the idea is Snorlax is in the middle of the thing. And then as you sleep, depending on how you sleep, the other, like the cuddle pile of Pokemon that arrives on your phone is all based on how you sleep. So do you have goofy sleep? Do you have rough sleep? Do you have good sleep, etc.? I think it's fascinating. And they released the Pokemon Go Plus, which is one of the pluses is a plus sign. The other plus sign is spelled out. So good luck Googling it. And it's going to be $50. It's pre-orderable now. And that you could put that on your bed instead of your phone if you wanted.
And it also works just like the Pokemon Go Plus did way back in like 2017 with the Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
Where it can catch Pokemon for you.
Yeah. I think this is not an original thought, but we can talk about this. Because that was such a big part of the show, right? Like the Pokemon Presents, a lot of it was not about video games and card games. It was about other stuff, right? I was watching an IGN podcast, you know, Nintendo voice chat, and one of the podcast co-hosts there, Kat Bailey, said, and this is, I never thought about it this way, but it actually really helped me understand Pokemon now a lot better, and is that Pokemon is not a gaming brand right now. It is a lifestyle brand. Mm. And what that means is it's really not just like the games are an important part, obviously, but the t-shirts and the merch and the plushies and the Funko Pops. Yeah, you got it right there. And
this isn't officially licensed though.
Yes. Yeah, and the purses and the makeup palettes and the restaurants and the dishes, etc. All of that combined is relevant and a big part, as big of a part of the Pokemon brand as the games themselves. Now, I know Amanda has many things she wants to say, but she's not allowed to put on her business hat. Amanda, you always have things you want to say, first of all. And second of all,
I have been such a good girl.
You have been so good. You've been so good. Because I know we're talking about all sorts of business stuff, but you're being very good. Because I know we wanted to give you a business break. So I think that that is something for our listeners to keep in mind, is the idea that Pokemon is not just about the games anymore. The games are not going to stop, obviously. They make a ton of money. They're great for, you know, onboarding people into the fandom, right? You know, you play them as a kid, and then you're going to be fans forever. But the movies, the TV shows, and the stuff is just as important. I think that's super rad.
I think it's super cool, and I think a lot of it has to do with... Because what people don't realize about Pokemon is they think, oh, it's just Nintendo, but the Pokemon is owned by three separate companies. Three, I believe.
Yeah, three separate companies. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's Nintendo, the Pokemon Company, Creatures Inc., and Game Freak.
Yeah. There's a lot. And
which is how they're able to do so much more than we see with our other Nintendo properties.
Yep, absolutely.
That makes a lot of sense.
And it's, man, Pokemon, who would have thought, man, when I was working at Blockbuster and like part of my job was to explain Pokemon to like really, really like confused parents, it was a lot. And I never would have predicted that 25 years later, I was going to be talking about it on a podcast in this grand scope. So that's the Pokemon Direct. Hopefully,
I mean, I have a whole podcast on Pokemon that's almost ready to hit 100 episodes.
And we are so stoked for you, man. Absolutely. So so that's the Pokemon Presents. It was Pokemon Day. So happy Pokemon Day to all the Pokemon fans. Let's talk about my personal Pokemon Day, and that's Evo 2023. They announced their eight games. So August 4th through the 6th of the tournament. We're going to talk about... I'm just going to run through the list very quickly, and I'll tell you why I'm excited. First, Street Fighter VI is taking the place of Street Fighter V. And it is the only PS5 game on the whole list, which is kind of interesting. Next, we have Guilty Gear Strive, which we'll talk about in a moment. Mortal Kombat 11 Ultimate, probably for the last time. Tekken 7, also probably for the last time. King of Fighters 15, Melty Blood Type Lumina. Whatever, I don't know. It's a game. It's a video game. Dragon Ball FighterZ. And in a retro throwback, Ultimate Marvel versus Capcom 3.
Ooh.
And they refer to this specifically as an Evo throwback tournament. So apparently every year they're going to do a different throwback. So I'm very excited about that.
Isn't that the one people weren't a big fan
of? No. That is, crap. What? The one they didn't like was Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. That's the one that didn't go well. Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is the big one. This is the one that was kind of marred by the fact that they didn't put in like all the X-Men characters because of the whole licensing and everything was going weird. I am very excited for Evo. I'm always excited for Evo. I just wanted to list out those games. What? Evan's sitting here trying to talk to me even though I have headphones in and I'm talking. I'm sorry, what?
I wasn't talking to you.
Oh, okay. He says he wasn't talking to me. Well, then don't mutter. So it's like I have the Peanuts parents in my bed, in my room. Womp womp. So very excited for that. And when I say this was the last year for Mortal Kombat 11 and Tekken 7, it's because Tekken 8 and Mortal Kombat 12 will be out by the end of this year, which is crazy to see Street Fighter 6, Mortal Kombat 12, and Tekken 8 all releasing in the same year. Good luck to the voters for the Game Awards. I don't even want to think about it. So, let's talk about some games that we've been playing. I want to talk very briefly about Octopath Traveler 2. Because I have played it. It is in my home. I used a gift card to buy it. I forgot that I had an Amazon gift card, so I bought it. I bought it on the PlayStation 5 because I was told that it was the definitive version. And my lord, everybody. First off, if you need music to listen to, and you're like, just your current soundtrack to your life is just kind of dying out, you need to go get and listen to the Octopath Traveler 2 OST. It's on Spotify. It's on YouTube. The music for these characters is just bananas. It's so good. It's so much better than it has any right to be. I like the characters better so far. A handful of characters in. I'm trying to take my time with this one because I don't want to binge and burn out. But it is the HD 2D art style is so gorgeous. It is exactly what I want in a role-playing game right now. And normally it'd be like, well, Final Fantasy 16 is coming later on this year. So like, you know, whatever, that's going to kind of be your RPG. We've found out that that's going to be a stylish action game like Devil May Cry. So, I mean, I'm still excited for it, but it's not going to be like scratching the role-playing game itch. So I'm really excited about my time with Octopath Traveler 2. It is rated T. I'm happy to say that so far there has been no implied sexual violence in this one so far, which is an upgrade over the first one, where one of the characters, the very first thing you're doing is murdering her. It's not great. They go into some mature themes, like the warrior guy is just doing the warrior. His brother's taking over the kingdom because the king died, and his brother's a jerk. And you're doing all that stuff. Like, the merchant wants to end poverty. You know, like, and he's, like, all in on ending poverty. And it's like, you know, it's, so I'm enjoying myself so far. I think it's very cool. I think everybody that is interested in role-playing games should give it a look. And watch a YouTube video for, like, 5 minutes, literally. And I think you'll know if you like the game or not. Because it is everything that Octopath Traveler 1 was, and so far for me, it's better. I like all the options. They added like a day-night cycle, where everybody has different powers at day and night, and that adds just that little extra flavor, which I really dig. Linda, you have a Kickstarter problem this week.
Apparently, there is like so many things that have either just closed or are alive right now that I can't resist. So, too tempting. Yes. So, there was a Kickstarter for 4 small games from Board Game Tables. The Kickstarter itself is over, but you can pre-order the games now. And I was, you know, do I back it? Do I not? What do I, you know, hemming and hawing, waited to the last day and decided, because you could back just one game and then like add on, like if you only wanted one or two, you could do that, or you could get all 4. But of course, it was more cost effective to buy all 4 because you had some upgrades. So I got all 4. But
so
what I get you?
It's true.
I think it's a really cool campaign. Tell me what the 4 games are.
So the 4 games, Chomp, which is a dinosaur-themed, Couture, which is a fashion game, Mind Space, which, if I'm remembering the description right, because I read it like 2 weeks ago now, at least it feels like 2 weeks. Maybe it was like 2 days. I can't remember the exact thing on that one. And then Sail is a 2-player only sailing themed game. And they're just cute, like smaller games. Everything was time wise under like 40 minutes to play.
Great.
And just like the components looked really cool. Yeah, Mindspace, you're trying to fit all the stuff in your head. It's a roll and write, basically, but it's with polyomino shapes.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, no, they looked really cool. And, you know, like I said, it was to upgrade, you know, get the upgraded pieces if you did the package deal. And, I mean, price-wise, for 4 games with the upgrades, it was $76 before shipping.
Pretty good.
Which seemed pretty good for 4 games with the pieces. So not breaking the bank and getting 4 games instead of, there's some games out there that's not even just the one game.
There are some Kickstarters where all in is more than $100, so exactly. That's a pretty good deal.
So.
And let me tell you, as soon as you said fashion game, Amanda like tensed up. Like she was very interested in that. I have a feeling that that is going to be
in
demand.
I'm always very interested in fashion. Everybody knows.
Yeah, and so I think that one's going to be on demand at a future EFGCon.
That might be.
You're not going to have trouble.
Linda, let's do it.
You're not going to have trouble. You're not going to have trouble finding anybody to play that one.
Nope. And I think there's another person that was at EFGCon that would love to play something fashion themed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would imagine so. Mm-hmm. So, guys, we did it.
We did it.
This has been episode 299. John, show us your Legos.
So
Lego. I'm sorry, I don't want to say it wrong. Oh wow, look at that.
Look at the design on there.
That's
pretty good.
Detail.
Yeah. Linda, show us your
there.
All right. Show us what you did. Wow. Linda, that's impressive.
That's awesome.
It's thicker yarn.
All I had left was the pillars.
All right.
So there's two flaming pillars, and then he goes in the middle. So
you'll have those.
You'll
done.
See a picture later tonight.
Yeah, you'll have those done.
I'll post my picture.
Yeah, you'll have those done, John, before the next TV show that you put on after this. So everybody, this has been episode 299 of the Engaged Family Gaming Podcast. We are all hoping that you enjoyed listening as much as the five of us enjoyed recording. Which, for the record, we're setting the bar really high on that because this is the highlight of our week. I will be back on Monday along with Linda and Amanda for the first episode of The Coils of Destiny. So if you're interested in that, set your clock, set your alarm, 7:30.
I am interested in that.
You are? Man, I hope so. I sure hope so. That would be weird if you were like, nah, I'm out.
That would be weird.
Deuces.
deuces, I'm out. So, and then we will be back the week after for just another episode of the podcast. You know, just chilling. Another episode. So, until next time, everyone, I hope you have a wonderful night. And until next time, don't forget to get your family game on. We'll see y'all soon. Bye.
Bye.
Music for the Engaged Family Gaming Podcast is Android Sock Hop by Kevin McLeod and audio production by Six Pack Nerds Productions.